Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 852 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Of course, the only podcast that gives you free seeds on every episode. A lot of people want to know how to win those free seeds. It is very easy. I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. All you have to do is go to that website and find the tab that says Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you send me a good grow question and I read that question here on the podcast, I'll send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The first question on today's podcast came from that Grow Help tab, and it came from my buddy Mike Miller. Mike Miller, make sure you check your inbox and your spam because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, "Hey, Rasta Jeff, I'm switching my lights to your recommended 18-6 light cycle for the last 2 weeks of flower. Do I still use a couple of hours of UV a day, or does the new light cycle replace that?" That is a very good question. There's a couple of great things to talk about in here. Many people may be new to the podcast, so let me address this 18-6 light cycle at the end of flower. It is exactly what it sounds like. I recommend that you, when you are running a cultivar which you are familiar with, don't do this on the first run. Do this with something that you've ran a couple of times. You know how long it takes to finish. You know exactly when to make this happen. Learn when that plant is done. If you've got a plant that finishes at 60 days, start this at day 50. If you've got a plant that finishes at 70 days, start this at day 60. That is my recommendation, but I highly recommend learning the cultivar before you implement this practice. Now let's talk more about it. It is exactly what it sounds like. For the last 10 days of the flowering phase, I turn my lights back on to an 18 hours on and 6 hours off light cycle. Many people think that that is wild and or outrageous, but most people who have tried it have reported positive results and great feedback. The only people that have given me negative feedback are the people who have not tried it. So I recommend 18 hours on and 6 hours off for the last 10 days of the flowering phase. Why do I recommend this? Because in my opinion, in my experience, in my learning, in my studies, I have seen that this does make our plants finish a few days more quickly. It also will make them denser and beefier, and it will also give you more harvest weight. Did I just use the word denser? I don't even think that's a real word. Not going to edit, going to keep moving because it works, right? Anyway, my theory is that you get more product sooner and it is more dense and chunky and you get more of it. Who doesn't want more bud, more flower, more product? That's going to definitely help out the bottom line. So the last 10 days of flower, I recommend 18 hours on and 6 hours off until harvest time. People are going to say, what about re-veg? We're not going to give it that much time. We're going to cut it down way before that does happen. Now the question here is, should this listener, should this grower be supplementing and implementing their UV light in this process? To be completely honest with you, I do not supplement any UV light in my grow at this time. It's something I've studied, something I've thought about doing in the future, but it is not anything that I do at this point. So I don't have any solid input, any solid feedback for that question. However, when people do ask me about this 18-6 light cycle and making adjustments, I generally say all I change is the timer. That's the only thing I make different. I don't change the spectrum. I don't change the intensity. I just change the duration is the only thing I change. If you are using a far red spectrum at the end of the flowering cycle, I may still continue to do that at the end of the flowering cycle just to let them know, hey, it is sleepy time. That far red does increase the sleeping period. It makes them go to sleep much more quickly is what I think I'm trying to say. But that is the only thing I can recommend that you do use. Everything else I would do just the same as you have been. If you're putting some LED or some UV in there, then do that. Don't change it. Do everything the same except the duration of the overall lighting. If you're using that far red, definitely use that at the end of the flowering cycle or at the end of the light cycle, at the end of the day to make them go to sleep. But that is the only thing I can recommend, the only thing I've got true experience with the UV. I know that far red, you want to keep that going. Anything else, you're ahead of me because now you're doing experiments that I have not had a chance to do yet. So you may learn some stuff I don't even know. Do it. Try it. I'm home here now. Try it out. Give me some feedback. I'd love to hear how this works for you. I'd love to hear what method you do go with. And also, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for those free seeds from iredirect.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you like the flow of the show, if you like the podcast, now's the time for me to remind you to click like and subscribe so you never miss any of my shenanigans. Let's keep this momentum going. I've got another great question here. Once again, this came from that Grow Help tab at iregenetics.com. Click on that Grow Help tab, send me your questions. You can win a pack of seeds from iredirect.com. This person called Good Vibe Terps. Make sure you check your inbox, Good Vibe Terps, because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. And it says, "Hey, Rasta Jeff, I appreciate all of the good vibes and the education you share with us." Hey, bro, thank you very much. I appreciate the positive feedback like that. It says, "It's definitely a great inspiration. I have got a two-part question." Bro, I've got a two-part answer. You're only going to win one pack of seeds, but enjoy that. The question goes like this: how do you store your seed stock to keep them viable, both long-term and just for a year-ish? All right, that's a really good question. Just a year-ish. So anything that I bred for sales for retail doesn't stick around for a year. Those seeds don't stick around for a year. It is very rare that I have the same batch of seeds for more than a year. It's very uncommon, especially feminized seeds. They sell very quickly. I make small batches and just continuously produce things instead of making a whole bunch of stuff and having it back stock. So most of the stuff is fresh, not even a year old. There is some outdoor stuff that does kind of get sat around and gets put down at blowout prices. Those are in a safe that is in a basement in a cool, dry, dark place. That is where those seeds will be stored. So those are long-term seeds. Don't stick around very long, to be honest. Anything for retail. If it is for my personal stuff, if it's my personal stash, I've got a couple of different options. Things that I'm just preserving, that I'm kind of hoarding, that I'm collecting just to have it. I don't think I'll ever grow it. I might one day, but I don't know because I want to grow it, but I also like having it. That's a breeder, hoarder sort of a thing there. Those things go in a safe that is in a very cool, dry, dark place. The safe, that area always stays in ambient cool temperature, somewhere between 67 and 72 degrees-ish. It's always real nice in that area. There's a safe in there. They're tucked safely in an airtight container in that safe. That is my personal hoard, my collection, my stash, my show it off on Instagram and show all my friends on Discord batch. Then I've got some stuff that I'm going to grow fairly soon, or at least within the next few months. That stuff is in the crisper drawer of my refrigerator. It is in an airtight container in the crisper drawer of my refrigerator. And those seeds won't get played with and manipulated, moved in and out of that cold very often because my concern is condensation. Think about it, as soon as you pull a soda or a package of something out of the fridge, that condensation starts happening. I don't want any of that moisture getting to my seed stock and damaging my seeds. Moisture is what makes seeds germinate. So that could cause them to germinate right inside the package. I don't want to open the fridge one day and have sprouts coming out of my fucking seed storage container. That would break my heart. So if you're just going to leave them in there for storage until growth or storage for a long time, I do recommend the crisper drawer in the refrigerator. If you're just going to show your friends them frequently and look at them and go through them like they're baseball cards, which isn't a bad thing, enjoy your seeds. They're yours. Look at them. You spent money on them. You worked hard for them. It takes a lot of time to gather and collect these seeds. Look at them. Enjoy them. Marvel them. Show them to your friends. If you're going to do that, just keep them in a cool, dry, dark place at that point. I recommend somewhere secure and safe. If people know what they are, these seeds are valuable. It's funny because to your wife and your girlfriend, they're just more stupid seeds. But to the right person, those are freaking gold. It's funny how things work like that. But to the right person, those are valuable. To some people, they're nothing. But keep them in a cool, safe, dark, dry, locked location. That is my recommendation. There's more to this question that I want to answer. Cool, dry, dark place is the most important part. Do not use silicate packs. I don't like the silicate packs. That is going to keep moisture in there. Use a desiccant pack. If you're going to store your seeds in somewhere where there may be moisture, a desiccant pack is what you need. That is what removes moisture, not a Boveda, the opposite. The Boveda, however you want to say it today, they keep the moisture in. We want to remove moisture, so use that silicate pack if you can. I buy the purple kind. I can't remember the brand name. I'm surprised there's not some within reach. I've got a bunch of them. They start off purple and they turn baby blue when they're dead. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they start off blue, turn purple. I don't know. I know when I pull them out of the package, they're fresh, and I can tell when they change colors. I keep those with a lot of my big batches of seeds just to keep that moisture at bay because, like I said, moisture is the number one enemy for our seeds until it's time to germinate. Now, retail seeds don't stick around that long. Most of the retail seeds stay in a very cool, dry, dark place, climate-controlled, humidity-controlled area. Very safe, very secure area. Lots of locks, security, cameras, guards, dogs, all that sort of shit. I may be exaggerating for the sake of TV. Where are we? I got to catch myself up. So that is what we're going to do with the seeds. How do you store your seed stock to keep them viable? The CRISPR drawer or in a shoebox in the safe in the basement, to be honest with you, bro. Long-term, my retail seeds don't stick around long-term. They sell. I get them out of here. If they get close to being a year old, put them on clearance, get them out super quickly. Stay tuned for Black Friday. Speaking of that, where are we? What kind of cleaning machine do you use? I'm in the process of making one, and I want to know if I'm going overboard. Much love, fam. That's a good question, man. A good seed sorter is hard to find sometimes. I've seen two very viable options. One of them is it's about 2.5 or 3 feet tall. It's a pretty tall, cumbersome machine. It's about 3 feet tall, 2 feet wide, and it's got a vacuum attachment to it to where you hook your shop vac up to one side. You dump your material in one side. It falls down like a series of trap doors and stairways, and then the vacuum sucks the usable material one direction. It falls through one door, or your seeds fall through one door, and the chaff is what the other part is called, falls through another door. And then a lot of times I see that covered with a sheet of plexiglass so that you can actually watch your material run through there. And you'll set up a shop vac on one side, 2 5-gallon buckets, pour your material in the top, turn on the vacuum first, pour in the material, and it sucks the lightweight shit goes flying this way because of the vacuum, and then all your seeds fall to the bottom. Then it's pretty well separated. Sometimes you got to run it twice, depending on how quick and sloppy you are. That thing is very, very viable, very usable, but it requires a shop vac, which is another thing you have to have and or buy. And it's big, it's cumbersome, it takes up quite a bit of space. Unless you're running big batches of seeds, like an outdoor harvest, that thing is not necessary, in my opinion. There's another device that is much smaller. It's about the size of a shoebox. I think it is called the Grow Easy or the Easy Seed Sorter. I don't remember the exact name. It's a white box. It's got a blue and or blue and green logo on the front of it. It's either Easy Seed or Grow Easy Seed Sorter. That's what I use. Basically, it's shaped like a shoebox, and it's got a little trap door on the top of it, which you pour your material in. It's got a computer fan inside of there, and there's a series of angled ledges, I guess. I don't know how to, I'm not an engineer, but it's got a bunch of angles in there, and the computer fan blows the lightweight material, which would be your dried up weed material, right off the top of it, and all the angles allow the seeds to roll down. And since the weed is lighter, it blows off into the second drawer. And since the seeds are heavier, all of those angles angle your seeds into another drawer. So then you get two little drawers. One is filled with seeds and one is filled with your chaff. At that point, I'll take the seeds, pour them into a bin, and then I'll run that chaff one more time, because a lot of times I'll get a few more seeds, enough to make it worth running. So the Easy Seed or the Grow Easy Seed Sorter is my second option. That's what I use. I bought one of those. It has lasted me quite a while. I hope that thing doesn't burn out, because it has been well worth the money. It would be hard to replace. It would take people a full day to do the work that that thing does in just a few seconds, a few minutes. So the Grow Easy Seed Sorter is what I recommend. My dude, Good Vibe Terps, I feel like I've answered your question and then some. Keep those seeds in a cool, dry, dark place. I like that CRISPR drawer for my personal seeds. Everything else goes in a safe, in a basement, in a locked, secure area. And I like the Grow Easy Seed Sorter. And I also like that big square thing that you've seen advertised. If you've Googled seed separators, you've seen this device. You've seen it, I'm absolutely sure. Another thing that I've seen people do is just get like a cardboard box, a shallow cardboard box, something they sell like cases of sodas or teas or kombuchas in, just the flat is what I think you'd call it. Pour all your stuff in there. And I've seen people lightly use a shop vac and just keep feathering it, brother. And just lightly run that shop vac over there. Separate your seed from your material. First of all, get it real, real dry. Talked about in the last episode, the unit of measurement for amount of moisture you want in your seeds when you're trying to separate the seed from the chaff is dry as fuck. Of course, that is the exact unit of measurement. Get it dry as fuck. I wear gloves. I grind it up super dry and tip that tray. All the seeds are going to run to the bottom. And then just use a credit card like your uncle used to do when he was cleaning weed. You can use your ID, a credit card, your library card. Do you guys even know what that is anymore? Scoop up the weed up the tray and it'll drop the seeds. The seeds will roll down because they're round and heavier than the weed. Work on that for a while. Get the chaff up top, all the seeds on the bottom. And if you're careful and gingerly about it, you can use a shop vac or a vacuum just to go across the top and suck up all the chaff, and the seeds will be down on the bottom. I had another guy tell me that they simply put pantyhose over the end of that vacuum hose, and then they can suck it all up, and the seeds will stay right there if they do fuck up. So there are a lot of methods to doing this. If you've got a lot of chaff, you can just pour it into a bowl and scoop it right off the top. That'll give you a big head start. And then you can shimmy that chaff around a little bit, and the seeds will fall out. There's a lot of ways to do it, a lot of ways to skin this cat, but it's not as daunting once you figure out some methods. Oh, the old school way. When I started doing this, I took a... somebody called it a colander. Somebody else called it a strainer. I've seen it called several different things. What it is a powdered sugar sifter. It's a handle with a ring on it with a little tiny mesh, a net on there. And you're supposed to run your powdered sugar through there and you shake it. It makes the powdered sugar real fine. I was taking handfuls, not full handfuls, but small handfuls of material, dropping it in there and just rubbing it around in a circle. And all the material falls out into the bowl and all your seeds are left up here in the wire mesh. Don't rub too hard because you don't want to coarse up the seeds on that mesh, but just give it a good rub, jostle them around, and all that material will fall out the bottom. So that's like a $9.99 method. You could buy that bad bitch at Walmart, and you can get your seeds out of a small batch of material without giving yourself a headache that way. All right, my dude, I've given you 3 or 4 great methods. I hope you have good success in your seed sorting machine. I know this is shameless, but if you make one of these great seed sorting machines and you need somebody to run a prototype, I know a guy that makes a lot of seeds and also could give you a huge shout out on a podcast. All right, I'll give you my shipping address as soon as you are ready. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where I want to give a couple of shout outs to a few of my friends who do support the show on Patreon. That's right. Check out the show at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Check out the benefits and the tiers there. Some folks do get some shout outs. And of course, there's the opportunity to get free seeds every month on Patreon. Today, I want to give a big shout out to my friend, The Dodge. Shout out to The Dodge. Also, a big shout out to Grow Me Into Coco. I love growing in cocoa. Big shout out. Also, a big shout out to a new friend, Guppy Girl, with a year-long subscription. That's right. Guppy Girl subscribed to the Patreon for a full year. I appreciate that. Big shout out. Big fist bump to all of the Patreon supporters. Now, let's keep this show on the road. I've got one more good question here in front of me. This, of course, also did come from that Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. This one came from somebody who is called the Red Eye Jedi, which is awesome. Because a long time ago, I wanted to be in a reggae band called Red Eye Jedi. I think we were called Dread Eye Vibration for a minute. We were called Red Eye Jedi for a minute. Cool shit, bro. I like it. Let's stay focused. This one says, oh, also, Red Eye, check your inbox because you have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question goes like this. It says, what's good, Rasta Jeff? What's good, bro? Everything is good, bro. I'm high as giraffe pussy. I'm recording a podcast, hanging out with the homies. I cannot complain. By the way, you're going to say, what did you smoke today? Because you were rambling. That is true, bro. I feel like I'm zinging from the dabs I took. I smoked some, cherry lime soda live batter from Green Dot Labs. And then also, just because it's been that kind of a day, I took a few puffs off of a joint from Green Dot Labs. It was a little teeny tiny nubbin of a joint, but it said that bad bitch had 0.5 gram of concentrates in it. And I smoked down until I'm sure I got to those concentrates because I was coughing. My face turned colors. My face was as purple as my shirt here. The shirt's not purple. The logo is purple, if you can even see it. Anywho, I got pretty purple. It was a good time. I've been smoking the cherry lime soda from Green Dot Labs. Also a pre-roll from Green Dot with concentrates inside of it. And it got me super rambly. Now let's jump in here to this question. Stay focused a little bit. It says, I'm a bit late to the party, but I just found your channel. Bro, never too late. You're here now. Jump in. Let's party. Go catch up on the old episodes. It's good to have you. It says, I love the knowledge and the experience you drop to the community, but what drew me in was your positivity, your love for the plant, and your humbleness to your roots. Bro, thank you for noticing all of those things. I try to be a positive person. Manifest destiny, right? It's all my fault. If my life sucks, it's mostly because I allowed something in my life to suck. If my life is awesome, it's because I put in the work to make my life fucking awesome. So it's positivity, bro. Do positive things. You get a positive outcome. It's all about ingredients and following the recipe. What else? Love for the plant. Bro, I love these plants. If you cannot tell, I love these plants. Can't stop, won't stop. And experience, that just comes with experience, bro. It's because I've been doing it. Oh, humbleness. That's the one I missed. Experience. I've been doing it for a while, bro. And humbleness. The plants will humble you. It's every time you start getting cocky and thinking, I'm a badass grower, I'm a bad bitch, those plants will give you spider mites. Like, that's just how the plants will fucking humble you. Trust me. It took a minute. I'm getting older. I've grown. There was a time. But yeah, trust me, bro. The plants have humbled me. The industry has humbled me. And thank you for noticing. Now, let's stay focused because that is hard today. It says, my question is, and this is the part that everyone's been waiting for, what are your thoughts on using carnivorous plants for natural pest control for indoor and outdoor grows? It's a cool idea. I like it. I instantly thought of, feed me, Seymour. But it goes on. It says, I'm currently venturing into carnivorous plants, and I have stumbled upon a few houseplants that would naturally help with plant pests in a tent setup and dozens that would help for outdoors, but I've never heard or seen anyone grow these in the community and use them for pest management. Bro, this is a really cool and creative idea. I like the idea. It would be a good addition, but it's not anything that I would 100% rely on for one major reason. I like the idea. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing it. I'm not bashing it, but carnivorous plants are stationary, and spider mites and fungus gnats and thrips are very mobile. And sure, a portion of them are going to go toward your carnivorous plants, but I need all of them to sacrifice themselves to the volcano, and they're not going to do that. So at that point, I'm going to have to either release my own predator insects, which also are going to get demolished by your carnivorous plants. So then I'm kind of paying for something to get eaten. I'm kind of sacrificing a few of my own soldiers are going to jump in the volcano as well. Or I need to spray something. And then am I damaging my carnivorous plants by spraying? Because they're not going to get any food because now there's no bugs around. So they're stationary. And that's the only thing I don't like about it is that they're stationary. It's like having it's like having fucking crocodiles in the moat. You got to get in the moat for those crocodiles to eat you. I need soldiers at the gate to make sure that nobody even gets to the gate. It's kind of, that's a weird ass analogy, but I'm telling you, bro, Green Dot Labs got to my head today. Thank you for jumping inside my brain with me. But I like the idea, but they're stationary. I want something out there getting shit done. If you had carnivorous plants that could walk around and eat shit, I would be all about it. If you had carnivorous plants that could detect, hey, the spider mites went to the top of this plant, they would go up there and eat it. But once the mites get to the top, they're going to make their webs. They're going to make their little teepees up there. And they're not going to get down to your carnivorous plants. You're going to need something else to battle that. So it's a really cool idea. I like it. Outdoors, it sounds great. If it battles all the caterpillars and the moths that we get here, that would be awesome. However, I don't know if these carnivorous plants will survive in the same environment as my ganja plants. I haven't done that research. So the bottom line, I do like the idea. It's a cool fucking idea. They would work. I'd put them in the corners of the room, every corner, maybe one in the middle or something. But they're stationary, and I need something more mobile. That's why I spray, because I can cover the entire room. That's why I release predator bugs, because they'll go seek out. When they're hungry, they're going to go hunt out some spider mites, some thrips, some fungus gnats, whatever else you got. They'll go find it and eat it. Even though I don't 100% agree with your idea, I love the idea. I don't know how effective it is. You still do get a coupon code for a free pack of seeds, so make sure you check your inbox for those free seeds at iredirect.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends, foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I had a lot of fun recording this episode. I really got on a good ramble for this one. It felt good. I had a good vibe, a good energy. So thank you. I contribute that to you for all these great questions. I do want to let you know that I will not be here for the next week's episode. I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to a comedy festival in Las Vegas. If you were at the festival, you know what I'm talking about. If you're there, give me a high five, give me a fist bump, give me one or whatever you're taking. Let's have a good time. Stop by, say hi. Don't be shy. I say this a lot. If you see me out in public anywhere, it could be the grocery store, it could be the sneaker shop, it could be at a festival, a comedy festival, a music festival. I don't want to get an email from you or a social media message from you on Monday saying, hey, bro, I saw you at this place. It was cool seeing you out. Don't do that. Come by, say hi, shake my hand, give me a fist bump. I am 6'5". I'm 6'5" tall. I'm a big dude. I'm not a big dude, but I'm a large looking dude. I've got dreadlocks that go down to my calves. I've got a lot of people around me talking sometimes. I'm a nice dude. I may be big. I may look intimidating. I've got a stern look on my face because I guess I've got resting bro face. That's what we're going to call it today. I'm just chilling, bro. I'm probably just high and confused. I want to talk to somebody. Come hang out. Be my friend. Introduce yourself. I'm just awkward and high. I really do want to meet you. You just have to start the conversation because I don't know that you know who I am. So if you see me at a festival, this goes for the year round, not just for the comedy festival this weekend that I'm missing, but this goes for year round. If you see me somewhere and you hear this voice and you know that that's Rasta Jeff, come shake my hand. Come give me a fist bump. Come say hello. Don't be shy. I love that sort of interaction. So I will not be here for the next episode. I should be back the week after that. Like I said, I'm going to a comedy festival in Las Vegas. Almost every time I go to this festival, I come back with some sort of either chest, nose, or throat sort of fucking junk happening, and I can't talk properly. So if I miss 2 weeks, I just had way too much fun, and you got to hang out for another week. I think that's all I've really got for you this episode. Once again, send those questions on the Grow Help tab from iregenetics.com. The seeds are at iredirect.com. Hit the Patreon, patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Of course, click like and subscribe, and please leave comments in the comment section. You guys have been leaving a lot of wonderful comments. You've been having beautiful conversations in the comment section. I love the community that we have built in the comment section. Also, join us on Discord. At this point, I am rambling, just extending the show for no reason. I'm going to get out of here. You guys get out of here. Go get some sunshine. Go spend some time with your friends. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Rasufa. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, poke your mom, relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. Spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing like through cannabis. Grow from your heart, pure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. Soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your